Dr. Church is the president of Bastyr University. He will introduce the proposal that they have, and he has a contractor with him who will go into some of the details. So, Dr. Church.
Thank you, Mr. Koss. Commissioner Thomas, Ms. Rogers, gentlemen on the advisory committee, and all of you very patient people. We are by nature at Bastyr nurturing people, and you probably need to stand up. I wouldn't want you to leave the room, but would you like to just sort of stand up for a second and sit back down again? You've been there 2 hours.
Okay.
All right.
promise not to leave. I'm so grateful that you're here.
Crystal's right up here.
My name is Dan Church, and I have the happy opportunity to be the president of Bastyr University. I want to thank you not only for your interest in this subject, but for coming on campus. We love it when people come, and believe me, you do. We are glad that you're here tonight. I came to Bastyr University just in September. I lived in San Francisco most of my life as a young person, and in 1968, when I was already old, I moved to Seattle, and with my family lived here for 10 years and moved to Ohio thinking I would come back in 3 or 4 years, and it took me 27 years with my wife asking every morning, when are we going back to the Northwest? And it was a great pleasure for us to come to Bastyr University, and on our very first experience, as we drove down off of Juanita Drive into this extraordinary place, as the canopy overhead shielded us from the sun and we saw the rotting logs beside the road, there was just this kind of peace that came over us. And as we made a wrong turn and ended up at St. Edward's, we thought we had arrived in heaven. Only later discovered that was not Bastyr University, that we didn't get the old and beautiful building, we got the younger and beautiful buildings. I've been having a wonderful time since I got here, and I want to tell you how pleased I am that Bastyr University has made a commitment to stay in the city of Kenmore and has promised that it would be good stewards of this place. Academic institutions are by their nature committed to inquiry. Bastyr University, which was actually founded the year we left Seattle to move to Ohio, so I didn't know a thing about it until recent years. It was founded with a very specific mission. It's a health sciences university, and in fact, as you know, a natural health sciences university. And in its mission statement, there are four words which seem to me germane, that we are concerned about the body, about the mind, about nature, and about the spirit. So what better place could there be for a university which is committed to looking at the world through those four lenses than being in the middle of a state park with nature all around us, and particularly a state park which has the heritage of spirituality that these buildings represent. I want to tell you that before I came, a very extensive process of planning was undertaken by the university, and it generated a master plan. That master plan involved a lot of people in its planning. It had an extraordinary consultant who came from the outside, a person whose profession is to help campuses to decide what is the best way to achieve their mission with physical facilities. And I got here just after that plan was finished. Every college president is probably arrogant enough to wish he had been here when the plan was being developed, because I thought I had all kinds of better ideas than those people who made that plan. But you know, the plan was faithful not only to reflecting our values and meeting our needs, but it was faithful to the things we believe in terms of motive, about stewardship of resources all around us and about community. And I think you have experienced Bastyr as that kind of place. I certainly hope so. We share your abhorrence of traffic. We don't like all the things you don't like, and we love the things you love. But nevertheless, in order to meet the needs of the university, we put forth a plan that we believed was sound, and we are ready to press forward on that plan. But I hadn't been here very long when I received an invitation to name a representative from the university to serve on this community advisory board. And so I named Sheldon Haber. And Sheldon went off to his first meeting, and after he came back, he said, have you ever been over and walked through St. Edward's? I said, well, no, I haven't. And so we took a little walk through the woods. I remember being taken for a walk in the woods when I was a kid, and it wasn't real pleasant because I got a spanking on the other end. But Sheldon was a generous man and said, just look at this place. What do you think? Is there any way in which our needs as an institution could mesh with the needs of the community and maybe these two institutions, which were always brothers in spirit, could be reunited, less impact on the environment, fewer trees imposed upon, the ball fields left open, all of those things that we've been talking about tonight. And so we said, you know what, why don't we look at that before we turn our attention again to the plan which had been established. So we've received permission from our trustees to explore this with you, and it's my pleasure to introduce Dr. Bob Senna, who will outline for you in a rather straightforward and, I think, quite brief way the vision that we have to share with you tonight. Dr. Senna?
I'm impressed. Hi, everybody. I'm that guy that Kevin and Kirk talked about who worked on the first plan for Bastia.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Actually, it's a lavalier here. I'll do this one. I'm the guy who worked on the first plan that we went through in Bastia, and I was so proud of that plan because it really represents the mission of the university. And I'll show that to you and then say why what we're doing here tonight is better. And I never thought I'd say that because I felt that that was really the quote, perfect plan. Well, you know the basic story. St. Edward's and St. Thomas seminaries are in the park, and when I first came to Bastia University, I was amazed to find it surrounded by tall trees and fall color and gorgeous state park. The drive-in is the best drive I've ever had into a university, and I've been doing this for 30 years. There is a historic connection between the two buildings, the St. Edward's building and the St. Thomas Seminary. These are just some historic photos, which are available for sale in the lobby. Some of the background, I say imagine my surprise, because I got a call from Sheldon thinking he was calling to say, well, the first buildings are going up. He said that Dr. Church and Sheldon, they want to change this, quote, perfect plan. And after talking to them and finding out what was going on, and with the opportunity that exists here, I got on board. And why am I showing you the Grand Canyon? This is not the wrong slideshow. But before I did campus planning exclusively, which is about the last almost 20 years, I was doing national park master plans. And the Grand Canyon plan, it kind of summarizes the way I run my practice and how I approach every project, whether it's a building project, a development, or a college campus, or a national park. The National Park Service took 3 days to tell us how sensitive the land was, that the pinyon pines were growing on 11 inches of soil that's taken millions of years to create, and the ponderosas only seed every 40 years, and you can't walk on the roots. And by the way, after the 3 days, we have 4 million visitors a year. So how is that different than having a state park and having a university in its midst that needs to expand? What I've learned to do in my practice in Grand Canyon way back in 74 with the master plan is that the land will allow you to do certain things and not allow you to do others. Can I have my water out of my briefcase, by the way?
Sure.
I'm going to end up sound like I'm swallowing the microphone. Thanks so much.
Sure.
So in the Grand Canyon, we found out what the land would allow and then recommended a master plan for the Southern Village. And it's much the same at Bastyr. And I'll go through this and get an idea. This is the existing plan. This is the existing plan as laid over the as laid over the site. I'm sorry. And you can see there's housing in the forest. The marshlands are preserved. And we pretty much are filling up the site, and the ball fields that are here are gone because the master plan program was to have a certain amount of academic space around a meadow around which were the Bastyr Gardens, and the housing was so important to have community on site. And the idea was to draw people through the site and through nature, create sacred spaces, and what better place than in the state park? And this is simply a diagram that shows the yellow buildings are housing around the academic core, which is red. And we did a number of sketches to show that. So why change this plan? Well, I'll tell you why. In the current reality, there's an opportunity that has arisen here that has the potential to satisfy all the parties involved, the ball fields, the baseball players, the environment itself, the state park, the need for the buildings to be restored, and for public use of the park and of the campus. When I first met Dr. Church, he said, we need to look at a bigger picture than was looked at before. So Bastyr is willing to give something up so that all involved can gain something, further protecting the forest, providing community recreation, access, ball fields, restoring and providing public use at St. Edward's Seminary, and providing Bastyr needed residential units. So the original commitment of Bastyr is not so much different than it was then as that it is today and the commitment that it's making today. You can see what it's saying on the screen. Remain small with slow growth, a mix of academic buildings and housing, but maybe a different mix than we had anticipated in the last plan. Implementing plans and designs that mitigate the traffic and environmental impacts. More housing on site means less vehicular emissions. It means fewer cars on the roads, less traffic. And pay very careful attention to the preservation of the natural environment. And also provide a resource which is not just the health and wellness resource, but one for recreation, entertainment, and learning, knowledge. So the proposed concept is to redistribute the land ownership between the state park and Bastyr in order to create, I call it, instead of a win-win, because there are about four parties here, an all-win situation, which amazingly I think is possible. First of all, proposed land redistribution. Right now, the old plan had housing in the forest north of the Bastyr property. Now, let me show you something. This is all Bastyr property. And Bastyr owns that site, and we were utilizing an awful lot of it in the past. What the plan is proposing are three new zones. One, the yellow one, well, first of all, the green one is exchanging with St. Ed's 21.5 acres of forest so that the state park can be responsible and have stewardship over the forest and the marshland and the habitats within. Second, on Bastyr land, Bastyr would retain ownership of the light green, but for a very long time, and I'll get you into the details of this, allow at least two ball fields out of the four to stay there and operate for a really long time, and probably all four for a while, and I'll show you how that can happen. And then what Bastyr gets in return, because what Bastyr is giving up here is basically its residential areas. What Bastyr gets in return is St. Edward's Seminary, and a parcel that includes the pool and the gym, with the ability to have the public and Bastyr both use those facilities, including St. Ed's, including having the staff living in St. Ed's as they do now, including having a park desk, an interpretive center, a small interpretive center for the park. Rangers would man that station and perhaps take out tours from that location. And, of course, the majority would be, the St. Edward Seminary itself would be residential in nature, with the dining room still be available for weddings and special events. And, again, as McMiniman was saying, the details are not there yet. This is a concept to lay down how we think this could work. So this is the same drawing, which shows the blue dashed line between the St. Ed's site on your left and the Bastyr site on the right, which is an existing trail that would be improved to make it universally accessible to connect this new residential area slash recreation entertainment, entertainment being the weddings and events that the public might hold in the St. Edwards, and the Bastyr campus. And let me get into some detail. This is the Bastyr site. Now, you guys are somewhat familiar, I'm sure. The white hatched building is the big existing St. Thomas Seminary in here. The small, it's supposed to be tan, additions to that building would be phase one. And that, those are academic additions that go right onto the existing building to have minimum impact. These clusters, and they're not meant to be buildings, they're envelopes, they're sites on which buildings might occur. These clusters would be built starting at the main building and moving to the east. So depending on the program that Bastyr has and the need for academic expansion, it may never get out to the far east side. But what we're saying is that these six parcels are considered academic reserve so that the university can expand into those parcels. Now, what this does, you notice we're not calling the ball fields academic reserve, we're calling them community recreation, because in our estimation, it's going to take a long while to move out that far, if ever, that the university would expand that far. And as a result, since we'd be starting from the west side, the two ball fields that are in here would probably stay in operation for at least 5 or 10 years. So you'd have all four ball fields going for some while, and then these, the two on the far east, on closest to Juanita, would be viable for a very long while. This site shows a future site by the water tower for some kind of development. There's a small slope there. And all the parking you're seeing on the outside, on the north and on the south, is existing parking, with addition of a small road and parking for the southern ball field, and a small road along which there's parking for tennis courts and another parking area for the more northern ball field. Oh, I should say, very important to the students and faculty at Bastyr are the Bastyr Gardens. The plan done in the past had centralized gardens, and as you know, Bastyr has 4 or 5 distinctive gardens, food gardens, herb gardens, Chinese medicine, Western medicine, et cetera. And we don't know, we haven't done the detail we did last time to find out exactly how those gardens would be aligned, but the general idea is to have them mostly centralized. So you can see that these rectangles are gardens at the end of this allee or plaza, gardens to the north, and this space would be for greenhouse and teaching facilities in among the gardens. The idea is to keep the gardens fairly much together, have them accessible by the public from parking so that they can be a destination on the Bastyr site. That's one of the things that they are and we will become more known for. Okay, the St. Ed's site. This is 5.1 acres in the blue line. And again, the white buildings that are hatched are existing buildings, and the tan ones are sites for potential buildings. Now, we had mentioned briefly, I think we had a very preliminary meeting a couple weeks ago. We were talking about ideas and getting people's input from the students and the faculty about what their issues were, et cetera. And we thought that to achieve the amount of residential space here that we need, that we're giving up on the other site, we would need a very one large building. And then we thought about it and said, you know what? The first thing you see when you approach St. Ed's from Bastyr campus is parking. You walk through parking to get there, and since you're coming up a hill, the parking dominates your view of the beautiful St. Edward's building. Second of all, so how can we mitigate that? Well, one way, and the St. Edward's building itself being three stories or so and beautiful to behold, even from the back side, if you will, as you approach it, the front side being on the Great Lawn, which in my mind is sacred and untouchable. When you approach St. Edward's, why not create a series of smaller buildings that don't interfere with the scale or compete with St. Edward's to scale? We're showing three small buildings that would be residential in nature, that would create courtyards usable by anybody who's using St. Ed's or the gym or the pool, but be away from parking. And then the north parking area and the south parking area are called shared parking, and understandably they would be for the community as well as for students, with one small parking area, the one on the east between the St. Ed's complex and the ball field, would be for residents, so they have a space where they know they can park when they come back from class or wherever they're going. Now, a couple of very conceptual sketches, or four of them actually. The one on the left is ball fields with the forest behind, and those are the two ball fields we talked about that would really have a fair amount of green space around them. The one on the right is artist's conception of a ranger starting out with a tour from St. Ed's where the park office or the park desk interpretive center might be. The one on the left is more of a residential courtyard concept, trying to see if the new architecture can at least, you know, use some of the key elements of St. Edward's Seminary building to incorporate into new buildings that are built in that quad, not so much like the plain lines of the gym and the pool. And the one on the right, weddings might occur as they have now in the dining room, et cetera. And this is just showing an outdoor reception after a wedding perhaps being held in the dining area and coming outdoors in the summer. I think that's it, except for the mission statement. Dr. Church talked about integrating mind, body, spirit, and nature through health education, et cetera. And that remains the mission statement. But I think that this is such a phenomenal opportunity for everybody, the state park, Bastyr, the baseball fields, the public, as well as the environment, that I got very, very excited all over again about the possibilities of coming in here and doing something that would be so significant and allow Bastyr to remain whole while giving back to the community the things that they've been asking for. So that's our presentation. Thank you very much.
Since we started with questions on this side previously, when we start with questions on this side next time.
Okay. I'm going to defer the hard ones to Dr. Church, of course.
Sure.
Any questions, please?
Yeah, actually,
Mike, any questions, please?
Yeah, right here.
Or comments, tomatoes?
Right here.
Yes, sir.
I think we're kind of curious as to what kind of cost you're seeing as far as restoring the building. And again, are you looking at an absolute transfer of the property with clear ownership and all that? Were you thinking about a possibility of a long-term lease? What type of options other than an absolute transfer?
I have to go to Dr. Church for that. I know what I think I know, but he knows what he knows, which is more accurate and more current than what I know.
Thank you, sir, for that question. The intention would be, since what's envisioned here is basically a land swap of taking 21 acres of Bastyr's forest and trails, which are pretty much used by the public as state park anyway, and it would be an exchange of ownership. There are certainly bank questions on both sides and state questions about whether these are of equal value, but assuming that they are of equal value, we would trade undeveloped land for the developed land, which is at the St. Edward campus now, and there would be an actual exchange of ownership. Roughly 21 acres of forest for about 5 acres of developed land, and then with the extended use of another 6 acres of Bastyr land for designated for public use. But it would not be, it's not envisioned at the moment that would be a lease arrangement.
And one other question. Both of the previous proposals have talked about exclusive use or a limitation on public use, those types of things. You mentioned weddings and other events. It could occur, but there's got to be some practical limitations on that. Can you address those? And granted, this is a concept, but clearly you've got this building. There may be some public use, but you've got to have some restrictions on that. How does that work currently?
Sure. Universities are, this is a private university. Notwithstanding our being in what we call sacred space, it's a secular university, and it has to make its budget. So we have to use our buildings in such a way that they bring revenues, whether those be tuition revenues or others. On the other hand, because we exist in context, and the context here is a wonderfully welcoming community, we currently have quite a lot of public use of our resources. Our chapel is used frequently for all kinds of public events. Our dining room here on campus, the quadrangles, of which there are several. Our gardens, the ball fields, we've talked about all of those. In some cases, we charge a fee for those things, as you might guess. And it would be expected that in the St. Edward building, there might be a similar kind of relationship. Frequently, they're made available with no cost. But there has to be a policy of some sort that would govern that. With respect to exclusive use, I can't imagine outside of dorm rooms and maybe my office any place where we wouldn't say people simply can't come. This is only Bastyr, because our classrooms now are used by all kinds of citizens groups. So the universities thrive when they are open communities. When they become closed communities, it's antithetical to the academic enterprise. And so we need you to come and be with us, and we want to be welcoming to anyone who would come.
Can you go back one slide or two slides there? Let's see what the... I'm looking for the slide. I guess it's that one that shows. Can you point out where the seminary building is on that slide?
Yeah. The existing seminary building is here.
Okay.
This is the pool. This is the gym.
And so in that concept, you're showing three new buildings?
Yes, so the idea being that they're small.
The idea being that they're smaller buildings, smaller footprint, smaller mass, and not trying to overwhelm or compete with St. Ed. So they, instead of building one building with the same footprint, we're breaking it up to have openings between it, courtyards, etc. That was the intention.
Approximate square footage, ballpark? Don't have.
You know, we don't. We're at the unfortunate spot, since we've had about 2 weeks to put this together, of not knowing even how many students we feel, or the board is going to say, you have to house this many students. But the concept, I think, is valid, but I don't know what we're going to fit in there in terms of students. We don't know cost at this point. We know it's a concept that would work for Bastyr and also provide these other elements. The details are yet to be worked out.
How much of that is existing parking, and how much is new parking, and approximate number of stalls? Do you know
okay,
that?
Okay, it's all existing parking.
Okay.
Let me be sure about that. This is existing, I believe.
Well, I take it back. I think it's existing. I know.
I believe the eastern parking lot, looks like that's too big. So I think it looks like you've expanded the eastern parking lot about double
this
size
one here?
To the south. Yes.
Southern.
Right. And then at the southern end of the buildings, there is no parking lot there currently either.
There is parking here.
There is parking, but maybe not that large.
No, there is no parking.
No parking at all there?
No.
Okay, I take it back. Okay. We're expanding our horizons.
Okay. Great. Moving right along, the uses in the seminary building, can you briefly tell us quickly what the uses of each of those buildings would be? Up there you're showing the existing and proposed buildings.
Well, the existing gym and the pool would stay as they are, and there would be public use and Bastyr use of those buildings.
Okay.
And the seminary building would have the large dining room. Now, again, we're not sure how the students would be accommodated for dining, but the dining room would be available, and the room upstairs from it, which is the old chapel, would probably be available for special events and would be to the public. There's a beautiful old library in there which might become available depending on how it's utilized. Bastyr is running out of space in its library and will need a new one, but that one is too small to accommodate it. It's basically going to be a residential community, and the three small new buildings would probably be residences, and there may be meeting rooms in there that could be shared with the public. St. Ed's, except for the public spaces on the north side, we're assuming is going to be mostly residential units, apartments or whatever. If you guys want to say anything else about that?
I wanted to say that it's important to recognize that all the things which are in buff color on this schematic and on the current campus schematic are all future development plans. And so we're simply trying to give you the sense that we would be building a kind of quadrangular campus environment with courtyards and the like. But the probability of those buildings being built is way out, and as a consequence, the use is somewhat ambiguous. The assumption is that this would be the residential core, and we would vacate the current residential capacity in our existing building here on campus. And so that would take over the current St. Edward's building on the top floors, at least. And then these other buildings would be much later down the line when either the volume grew that we needed more residents, or if we actually were able to implement a living, learning community environment in such a way that faculty wish to live on campus.
Okay. Let me just make a comment. These drawings are conceptual, and by that I mean they're meant to give you large scale proposals, such as looking at this drawing. One proposal is that the West Lawn is not going to be touched. It's gorgeous. It should never be touched. The other one is that we're not building into the forest in any locations. And if the parking lot to the north is bigger than it really is, the intention is not to build into the forest and not to utilize land or pave land that is not now paved. The other intention would be to set up the quadrangles Dr. Church talked about and build buildings to enclose that. So those are the big intentions. What the building footprint actually will be, I don't know. I can tell you that it won't dominate St. Ed's. You want to see St. Ed's. That's what you're trying to preserve, as well as restore the building.
Thank you.
Yes.
Right, one short question. Do you see a way that the three small new buildings could find another home other than where you're showing them?
I think what needs to be recognized is that in order to do this plan, Bastyr is giving up the residential sites on the other campus. We're certainly happy to give up the sites within the forest. That was a real push to even locate them there. We had arguments back and forth forever, but how do we fit the residents in there? When the opportunity to restore St. Ed's came up, it was also an opportunity to add some of those residential units back. So I would say the answer is no, that we have to be able to develop the university in a way that creates the community we're after. If we can't do it on the main site because we're giving it to ball fields and forest back, which are now residences on the old plan, we have to accommodate them somewhere. We're trying to do it on the smallest footprint possible.
So the existing ball field has to stay?
The existing ball field? Well, that's not up to us. We accept that the existing ball field as St. Ed's property. And you had a presentation earlier tonight about the ball field folks are also assuming it's St. Ed's property. They're working with the state park in order to create a new and better three ball fields there. I think between that proposal and our proposal, they might end up quite whole in terms of number of ball fields. But we don't intend to touch that ball field. Well, somebody just gave it to us, but they're not going to do that. It's state park, and it's going to remain state park as far as we're concerned.
Just one question. Have you been able to identify any major or minor issues with this plan?
Now, why would I do that?
negative things, negative issues that...
When Sheldon first called me, I had an argument with him. And my negative issue was, well, there's going to be a perceptual distance between the two for students. They think, because you can't see your destination. Well, then Sheldon took me on a walk through the woods and gave me a beating at the end, like, no beating. And when I got back to the office and started looking at the maps and all the aerial photographs, I got rid of that problem for myself because we found another set of trails further north that would allow a tighter connection between the two. And that was the main issue I had. And the other issue I had was that, keep you in suspense here, hold on. The other issue I had was that the board of trustees for Bastyr gave us fairly strong instructions about, you know, keeping a tight community but not living in the academic area. Living and working are separate, and we separated them by the meadow, et cetera. But when you look at this, and by creating a connection and putting the ball field on the Bastyr side, we think we still can create a very powerful space for the academics. And with the trail connection, create a forest link, and then the courtyards on the other end, you're still feeling like you're in a campus. And so that was the big thing I was worried about, and I think we can solve that now.
I would take the risk of speaking the obvious, which is we think we've satisfied our needs with this plan. We think we've satisfied the ball field users. We think we've substantially addressed traffic problems. We think that we've addressed the concerns about the environment and the trees and the impact on the land. We think we've addressed the state park's concern about use of this building in a way that's sensitive to its history, that provides continuity, and that puts it in productive use. But we're not for profit, and so it's not going to generate tax revenues, and we all know that.
Are we going my way now? I guess my major issue is a legal one, whether we can actually do that kind of land exchange, given the prior funding for St. Edward and our acquisition of it and the funding that went into it. And I think we need those answers quite soon. And then the other issues would be the same ones that were raised in our previous discussion about McMenamins, to the extent to which public use of the park would be impacted. But I think you've explained pretty well.
Our intention is not to impact public use, but to continue to allow it in those areas that it is now, while still meeting the mission of Bastyr.
If I may, let me just speak to the question about whether it's legal to do this. We have only a preliminary opinion from council, and of course you'll want to seek your own if this goes forward. But the preliminary opinion suggests that both with our understanding of your constraints and with our quite comprehensive understanding of our own circumstances with respect to the bank and the bond authority, we do believe that if it is certified to be an exchange of equal value, that it is legal to swap the land.
My question is, this the park office, would it remain in the same location and the ranger residences?
The intention is to accommodate the park in the best way for the park. Now, the ranger office could remain in the gymnasium building where it is now, or it could move to the St. Edwards building if there was more room. And we were envisioning there's perhaps room for an interpretive, a small interpretive exhibit about the park, information about the park, a park desk. If that could be accommodated in the gym, it's better for you guys. That's great. If it needs to be somewhere else on that site or in one of the newer buildings, that's great. We intend to have that in that location if it works for the parks. As far as the rangers, et cetera, living on site, we talked with some staff and understand the concern about that. And full intention of Bastyr is to allow that the living arrangements to remain as they are.
I appreciate all the creativity that's gone in a very short period of time into this idea. I want to step back, and I can understand where you're trying to solve issues that have been brought before you, particularly with respect to the Kenmore Little League. But it seems to me that as I step back and look at this from a state park perspective, and this is not a Kenmore park. This is a park,
sure.
And I don't live in Kenmore. It's a state park. And one of my concerns is that for someone now coming to this park that would be now 5 acres Bastyr, it is going to appear that one is coming to the Bastyr residential campus, no longer to the park. This strikes me that we start down the road of trying to save a historic building in a park, and we will have given up the identity of the park in the process. And one of the drivers is that, to that, from what you're telling me, is that you feel that you have to maintain these two Little League ball fields in order and need this space to create residential dorms that you would otherwise be putting on those ball fields. That trade-off, I'm not sold on. Mm-hmm. And when I, particularly when I look at it from the state park perspective, and particularly if the state park were to make the decision to take the existing ball field within the parks and allow the Little Leagues to improve those to enhance their use. I would like to see a solution that does not involve taking the heart of St. Edward's Park and the St. Edward's building and transforming it into something else to try to keep the character of the building, albeit it gets used instead as it now becomes part of Bastyr's residential facility. That would preserve it, obviously. But what's troublesome to me are the other buildings and that trade-off as I look at it in terms of when people come to the park. And I don't know whether you've got any response to that, but that's as I'm listening to this, I know that you had short time to try to balance all these different things. But when I look at it from the perspective of my members, and we've been talking about this, and they're looking at this primarily as the state park, I think that's going to be the most troubling issue.
If I may, just to comment, we share a dilemma with the state park about identity. There are lots of people who come into Bastyr University and don't know when they're on campus and when they're in the state park, and there is always going to be that confusion until we are able to collaborate together in making a clear and consistent message about how we have designed ourselves to coexist. Whether there is any relationship that follows this pattern or whether Bastyr just stays on its current campus virtually surrounded by the state park, we will have to find a way to message our identities that will be able to communicate to the whole user community. So I share your concern about that. I would not want you to go away with the illusion that this is motivated by the Little League. It is true that we believe we could accommodate the ball field users with this design in a way that we simply cannot otherwise. But the 21 acres, which don't show on this slide, but which we would be prepared to give to the state park, are acres that are being used by state park users now with the sense that they are on state park territory. They don't know they're on the campus of Bastyr, and we're not going to go tell them, get off the property, you know, you should go to the state park. But we will have to move into that current wooded area. It's not just the ball fields that would be encumbered. If we can't find alternative space, then it's the woods also that are in some sense in jeopardy. And so it's motivated by something much larger than just the ball fields. We think they might be winners in an idea like this as well. With respect to the identity of the park, I personally would argue, I think, that any alternative use to the current fallow use of this building, passive use or empty building, is going to create that confusion. No matter who comes in and develops that property, people are going to say, oh my gosh, it's not the state park, it's this or it's that. I think Bastyr and its commitment to provide continuity of origin from the two seminaries being together has got more sizzle for me than most of the other uses that I can think of. But unless the state park is going to be able to use it itself without inviting in some extra party to develop this property, I think you're always going to have that challenge of how do you communicate the integrity of the park while somebody else is in the middle of it. We think we would be compatible users with you, and we think we would be good neighbors. But if it's somebody else, I think you're going to have the same kind of challenge. For us, you're speaking of the integrity of the St. Edward's building and its history. It's the history that brought me to this first. I frankly wasn't thinking much about the ball fields because I'm not much of a jock. But I was very concerned about the fact that we had lost the continuity of the relationship between the two seminaries. And I've met with some old priests who were still alive, not the ones buried in the walls, but who said, you know, I went to elementary school in St. Edward's, and I went to seminary here, and what is with this road between? The road, of course, was there, but the sense of lost connection is something that had value to me if we could recover it. The rest of this is just sort of extra from my point of view.
And I don't, you know, I think the connection is great, but my concern is in order to save an historic building, the proposal is that you build three new buildings around it on park land, and that is not resonating with me right now. I'd like to see if find a way that you can save the historic building and use it and connect it to the rest of your campus, if that's the direction the commission wants to go, but not have to use park ground to build additional buildings.
So just to clarify, from my understanding, your objection is not to Bastyr occupying the current buildings and putting them in productive use, but surrounding them or adding to that constellation new buildings.
Yes.
You would be open to the idea of our being partners in this?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes,
that's helpful.
It's more of the concept, and it wouldn't necessarily just have to do with you. I asked the same question of McMinimins. In order to save this building, do you have to sell off pads of land to allow other buildings to be built to save this historic building? And that I would like to say, I would like the answer to that question to be no, you don't have to do that.
Thank you, Dr. Church and Robert Santa, for the good presentation, and I appreciate the good maps and graphics, and it would be really nice if on the advisory committee if we could get copies of those graphics. I do want to follow up just a little bit on what Ken said. So I understand, if the ball fields did not exist, those two east fields that would be saved, is there sufficient space to put those three new buildings? And if there is, would you want them there, or would you, or does your plan require that you want those three buildings down at the seminary building?
Can we go back to that earlier slide?
Tell me which one you'd like.
I think you just
the one with the original master plan. There it is.
Okay, now that plan has a number of additional buildings, and I'm trying to get a grasp on the number of people that would be in those three new buildings.
You have to realize one thing, and I only say what I know, and then Dr. Church can follow through, but one thing is that the program has gone down a bit. There's more demand for residential space, and there's less demand for academic space at this point, although that might change. I've been in a number of campus situations where I was told to build to a small footprint, and my advice is always to look at a master plan, because you don't know 30 years from now if you will build that out at some point. So I'm not answering your question, though, because it's a toughie. I don't know the answer exactly. If we were achieving a fair number of beds on the old plan, but it really utilized the entire site, including into the forest, and wiped out the ball fields totally and created a very nice plan, but it also would be a very long time in being implemented.
Okay.
Dr. Church?
Only, do you
want to point?
I
know
how
to point.
Use that, point that where the 21 acres is.
Maybe I don't.
If you just look in the upper left quadrant, that's 21 acre parcel.
21 acres up here.
Right. This, you can see that there's substantial intrusion into the woods there, which the ball fields would be down in more in the middle of this area. So even if the ball fields were sacrificed and we were to build, your question, could we build those three buildings here? Perhaps, but we couldn't do everything there without going into the woods. So we're probably at too early a stage to say which of these buildings will we swap for which, but we would certainly be open to looking at that. Part of it is also getting critical mass. You can't just send a certain number of students
right
over to the St. Edward side and try to care for dining issues and library access and all that, and then have two pods of residents that are as far apart as those are. So the synergy which comes from getting them all together is important to us. But that's something we'd be eager to look at with you.
Okay. The other thing is, in the plan that you presented, were those two east ball fields to remain ball fields indefinitely? I mean, that was the plan, that they would not be altered, at least the plan that was presented. Obviously, everything is open to discussion in your planning now, but as you presented it, was it specifically such that those would be public use ball fields?
When the
The intention is that those two ball fields on the east side are public use, community use ball fields, but they remain in Bastyr ownership. I think that's the only wise thing to do, although it may be 30 years before they're ever needed. When we give a piece of art to my sister, it's always on what we call a permanent loan. We'll probably never get it back, and we won't ask for it either. But if we ever wanted it back, we could get it.
And that was my point. So it is something that you're not going to put anywhere on a deed or anything that's going to restrict that. You will ultimately, if you decide you want to expand further and you can get a development plan through the city, that you would build there if you have to.
Yeah, but it's way out. And I would assume that the university would sign a pretty long lease with the ball, for the ball fields. So okay. We can't say forever, but it's sure going to be a long time.
I appreciate that.
I'll be in Argentina before that.
Okay. And one other question I have regarding the change in ownership of the seminary building and the surrounding property. I understand that you've just purchased your property and that you're now owners of the property you've been leasing. But what would happen if you felt you needed a larger campus, you needed to build more buildings, and your 51 acres plus the seminary building here just wasn't large enough? What guarantees does the state park and the public have as far as the future owner of that site, and would that seminary site be in the same ownership control exactly as the university is held, or could they be sold separately?
Great question. That's a policy question.
It's a question to which I don't have an answer, but it's a very interesting one to contemplate. The university doesn't envision a day, I certainly do not, and of course I'm old, and when this all happens, I'll be gone, but you'll be here, and so you can tell me later how it comes out.
Hopefully we'll cross paths.
I hope so, too. my sense is that the university has... It simply can't contemplate a point at which it would walk away from its investment here and the beauty of this place and the sort of sympathetic environment for what it is we teach and what it is we believe. On the other hand, to protect against that, I think it would be fascinating to explore whether the seminary parcel, this 5.1 acres, if this were to go forward just as it's described, were deeded separately. We would still own it, but there could be some deed restrictions about the park having the first right of refusal to acquire it back, or some way of giving you assurance that we're not going to walk away and sell it to some undesirable owner. Okay. I'd be very open to our exploring that.
Okay, thank you. And one last question, just so I know for sure. There would be no dollars that would exchange between Bastyr University and the State Park. This is strictly just a land swap, and there's no lease arrangement of any set type or any additional monies transferring. Is that correct?
That is our intention as we see it now.
Thank you.
We're open to alternatives, but that's the proposal.
Thank you.
I had a question about the pool and the gym. Is all that part of, why is that included in your swap? Is that the area of land? Is that?
The sense is, and I should let you talk to the planner about this for sure, but the sense is that if there is to be any development of the space around it, positioning new structures around the existing structure needs to be thought of as a whole. And if we didn't have any control of the pool and the gym, then we can't actually decide for ourselves, even in communication with you, what that looks like when it might get built out. And so the hope was that it would be developed as a sort of rectangle, if you will, and those existing pieces would be part of it. We currently use the pool, the state park. We have a relationship with them that allows our students and our faculty to use it, and of course all of you do as well. That would go on in perpetuity, but the university would have the responsibility to own that property and maintain it.
Right.
Might be operated through a lease arrangement such as you have now with North Shore or whatever.
Yeah. I just had one comment about the parking space behind the children's playground, since I'm a children's playground person. That seemed rather long and big and close.
That's the one.
Yeah. That one right there.
I think what you heard Bob say is that there was no intention of paving ground that isn't paved now. So okay.
That's just a conceptual. Oh, okay.
But on the other hand, if we're going to accommodate public and Bastyr parking, at some point there's going to have to be a parking count, a demand, right, and a provision of spaces. Now, we're not going to take a tree down, and we're not going to go into the forest, but there may be some need for parking in that parcel. I don't know what it would be, but we certainly work with you guys to be sure that we're not impacting views or land that is not appropriate to impact.
Right.
And we don't have that input right now. We're just making our best guess.
Right.
That's outside of the blue zone of ownership, if you will. So we would have to collaborate
yeah.
with the state park to develop.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
The south lot and north lot are outside the blue zone on purpose because they are shared parking. So, right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, and I appreciate, again, for you guys coming down and letting us hear your proposal. I have a string of questions, not only as a user of the park, but as the manager. State Parks System is the largest landowner of historic structures in the state of Washington. St. Edward State Park is the largest structure that we own as a historic property. We are stewards of that land. Why would we, and help me sell this, why would we give it to you rather than lease it to you? What's the difference? Because we are the current owners of that property now. Why would we want to give it away?
Oh, yeah. He said we need to call a lawyer. The simple answer is you're getting a very nice piece of property in exchange. I mean, I hear you talking about owning historic property.
Right.
But you're getting into the hands of the park system more than 20 acres of virgin woods and trails.
Sure.
And it's a pretty good way of acquiring additional parkland and unloading a relatively large elephant of a certain color.
Well, I understand the unloading part, but it is something that we are stewards of. So I have a hard time saying that we're going to unload it on you because it is a gem of state parks, and it has a special place for me. And to say that we're unloading it, I think is probably the wrong term.
I didn't mean to be inflammatory. I'm just thinking that the cost of the park having to maintain it
sure.
without a productive use is substantial.
And that brings me to my next question. I appreciate the segue. State Parks currently generates, St. Edward State Park generates a significant amount of revenue. Majority of that revenue currently comes from our parking fees. That may be going away, probably more than not. So right now, our main source of revenue is going to be from our rental facilities. If you guys are the owners of that property, we're going to lose that as well. And basically what you're taking away is the core, the heart of State Park, of St. Edward State Park, that area right there which the majority of our use comes from. Please help me in making my decision to say, well, yeah, I want to give away my heart of the state park, the ability to generate revenue, because unfortunately as a state park system, that's what we have to do to keep ourselves afloat is to generate revenue. If we don't have that revenue stream, And you guys would be the owners of the property, of the gym, of the pool, all those places where we would generate revenue, especially with the loss of parking fees. How are we going to be able to do that? Because we would have 320-some acres to manage and basically at a major deficit. You know, if we were going to get rid of the building, which currently is a deficit, now we're going to have more property with no revenue stream to help us operate that. How are we going to do that?
I can't begin to imagine an answer to that at the moment, but we'd be quite willing to be in dialogue with you about how we could mitigate the impact of that on the park. It's not our intention to burden you with something that
right.
Doesn't meet the needs of the state.
Right. But if we're giving up that, we won't have that ability to have our concert series and events and weddings and things that we do now where we generate the revenue from.
I can't say anymore.
Okay. Next question I have, and I really appreciate you guys allowing us to have an office and interpret center on your property. But how is that going to work? Are we going to be tenants of that property as rangers? Because we would be on your property. Would we be tenants? Would we have to pay rent? Or would we have it for free? And how would that work with us?
It's probably too far out for us to have an answer for that, but I would think we could be open to some creative discussion about how we structure the transaction mm-hmm. and envision those kinds of opportunities as we design the transaction. It's not a foregone conclusion that you would be tenants. It's also not a foregone conclusion that we would simply give it back free.
Right.
I think we just have to talk about those things.
So we would have more of a deficit the revenue coming in. Next question, issues of security in the park. Currently, there's, you know, Bastyr was within the state park, and we do have issues with Bastyr students using the state park. If you're going to expand the campus, that's going to increase as much as you guys increase. And without the ability of our staff to be able to mitigate that, you know, without that revenue coming in for us to operate as a park, because ultimately we would like to be self-sustaining, which probably will never happen, but we would like to get close to that. We would have to increase staff. We would have to increase ranger presence to be able to mitigate any issues with your students, because they're not going to sit in that little square plot of property, 5.1 acres, as they do currently. They expand out, and we encourage that, but there are issues that are involved with the students coming out, especially if you increase the amount of students. I guess it's more of a comment than the question that we're going to have to be able to increase staff to deal with those issues, because we'll be out on the trails because we won't have any property left, any structures left.
Hesitant to keep biting on these, but let me just say that we would accept the responsibility for whatever costs are incurred by the park as a result of our having more students or students in a different place. That's certainly a cost of doing business for a college or university.
And my last question is, going back to the parking, in that plan that you show there, you're not going to add any additional parking that we have. You're actually taking away a significant amount of parking. But if you increase occupancy and use, you're going to have to use parking and put it somewhere. So you said that we would work out a plan to put that on state park property. So the state park, the heart of the state park would be gone, but the outskirts of it, we would just be basically a parking lot with trails going off of it.
Well, we don't see it as harshly as that, but if you interpret that drawing literally, you could say, yeah, we need to have some shared parking, and we're going to put it on your property.
Right.
And that wasn't our intention. I mean, if it meant that the university needed to maintain that, maybe something has worked out. But we wanted to minimize the footprint. We wanted to show shared parking. And I know that everything's on the table, because we just drew our best shot. And the idea is to really benefit the state park and not in any way encumber the park or take away from its value or the vision of the park or what people see. And all of this stuff is on the table. Because I know that when Dr. Church first saw me, the first time we met, he was like, we need to take a bigger look. We need to, you know, incorporate the values of the state park in a better way and, you know, go forward. So please don't take these as like anything set, because this is...
Everything's up for negotiation.
Everything.
This is what's being presented. And so for me to get a grasp on what's happening, this is what we have here.
You're asking great questions, but it's kind of like, I went into a meeting early in my career in Los Angeles, big developer, and he asked us to present these drawings at 1 inch equals 200 scale. And there were four architects presenting different parts of the property. One of the architects blew it up to 100 scale so it looked like he did it in more detail, but he drew it at 200 scale and blew it up. And the client asked him 100 scale questions that he couldn't answer, and he was fired on the spot. And What I'm trying to say is your questions are super, and maybe we can get to them at the very next step, because right now this is a 200 scale drawing, and we can't answer the 100 scale questions right yet. And what I really want you to get is that the intention of Bastyr was to show a broad concept about. I was surprised myself, because I was pessimistic at first about what can we do that would make this work for all parties. Well, here's the first shot, mm-hmm. And then let's talk about it.
Yeah, okay. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. I think my question was answered a little bit. Right now, currently, the state parks owns the pool and gymnasium, but it is operated and managed by Northwest Center. Was that something that you would be willing to continue an outside operation, or would you want full control over programming of the pool and gymnasium?
We're completely open to leaving the current relationship intact if it seems wise to all the parties.
My other question was, do you have any ballpark estimate on how many students would be staying on site?
You need to use the microphone. Do you have those numbers with you? Or?
I don't. Go ahead. I go forward with counsel here. You just talked about fewer number of students coming up, but I don't know how many would be. Let me say this.
If a university wants to establish a community on campus, the number they usually aim for is in the neighborhood of 60% of enrolled students or undergraduates living on campus. I don't know, and that is very much dependent on how many students are living just off campus. And there's a special culture at Bastyr where students are here almost all the time. I mean, there's a lot of community, even in this building, because students are here, they study here, they interact here, they go, et cetera. So those things have to be taken into account. And so I've never heard a percentage from anybody in the administration, and I don't know what their goals are along those lines. So it's hard to give you numbers at this point. But
only to say that if you take the, we keep using this term ballpark, and it has nothing to do with the fields. If you take the 60% of undergraduate enrollment, which a typical liberal arts college might like to do, we're not a liberal arts college. We have a handful of undergraduate degrees, and they are only upper division coursework. So fewer than 30% of our students are undergraduates. So suppose we have 1,100 students all told, and you take 30% of that and 60% of the 30%. We're not talking about very many folks living on campus if we follow the formula. If, on the other hand, we say that even in master's and doctoral level programs, if you want to live in community and have this be a laboratory where you are learning and living and working together, then the potential is there. So we can't project that very well at the moment, but the philosophy, which is beginning to evolve here, suggests that there could be pods of housing which would include some faculty and some students and not just your typical undergraduate dorm students, but perhaps married couples or young families. And some of those could potentially have lived in our woods, if you will. The question is, can they live in the environment of the current St. Edward's campus? Can I just add one further clarification about intensity of use? What this does is it takes our current population and spreads it over a different landmass and configures it differently. There is growth of academic space as well as growth of residential space, but we're not talking about a major growth in the total number of users. Our sense about that is that alternative uses of the park or of the St. Edward's site might bring in quite a lot of new folks to the environment of the campus and the park. Our intention and our expectation would be that number would stay relatively stable, and we think that's one of the upsides, is that it brings fewer people, less intense use of the environment, but it moves them around in the space in a different way.
Based on a conversation that you and Muhammad had just a couple minutes ago, I wanted to just make sure I understood. As far as the current activities that happen on the lawn, like the summer concert series and the Father's Day Brewfest, are those going to be continued, or is there any?
That's state park property.
Okay,
we have nothing to do with programming that space. I think it would be a great thing to have that keep on happening.
Okay.
Sure. Now, and the lawn is gorgeous. I'm so impressed by that lawn.
I just want to make a comment that as a user of state parks throughout the state and here as well, I personally don't visit state parks to look at historic buildings. I look at them, but that's not the reason I go. I think the heart of this park is not so much the historic buildings. That's where we generate revenue, I suppose. But the heart of this state park, I think, is the 300 forested acres that is absolutely unique and a gem in this context and what lives in the forest.
So we're approaching the end. I have seven people who had signed up to testify, and I don't know how many have remained. Let me run down the names. Mary Beth Anthony, okay, Susan Garkner, Deborah Srebnick, Clyde Merriweather, Alan Marshall, Richard, I think he's stepped away, and Conway Leovi. Okay, so they're mostly here. Before, and we'll do them in that sequence. So before we get to those, I want to tell you how much I appreciate, Richard is here, all the people who have come. We've got the advisory committee, all the presenters who did a fabulous job of explaining the choices, the advisory committee for framing really the policy and really fundamental issues. I want you as the audience to know that over the next several months, we will be meeting and deliberating the issues that have been raised today and previously, in light of the information we've received today and information that we will receive in the future, because we'll be needing to get back to people to better understand proposals and developing the consequences of that. If we will be holding public, our advisory committee meetings are public meetings. The next one is March 8th. It'll be in the Grand Dining Hall. We'll be posting the future dates of the advisory committee meetings as we determine them, and we'll lay out on the March 8th meeting the next several meeting dates for those of you who want to follow the activities. So with that, I'll move into the public testimony. If you're comfortable with this, come right up here. I'll hand you the microphone. Turn, speak to, the audience is the advisory committee. Speak to us. I'm going to limit it to 3 minutes, and I think we have five people or so. So with that, Mary Beth Anthony is the first person.
Hi. Feels a little weird standing this way, but yeah. I think I'm going to go. I think it was better. Yeah. Thank you. So I'm a member of the Citizens for St. Edward State Park, and the reason why I'm a member of it is that I've lived in this area for 32 years, right next to the park, and I want to I want this park to be a place for my great-grandkids to come, because as we know, we're losing green space really quickly, and I want this to remain a sacred, beautiful space. So, and here I am. I'm representing on behalf of a subcommittee of the Citizens for St. Edward State Park, which is a group of local residents developing a viable alternative to establish a long-term, stable funding source for St. Edward State Park. So, Citizens for St. Edward State Park proposes that the advisory board and the commission allow for sufficient time for our group to complete an alternative proposal. And what we want to do is we want to see if we can form a Parks and Recreation Service District that will include the park as an integral element of the PRSA. We will work with the cities of Bothell, Kenmore, and Woodinville, in addition to unincorporated King and Snohomish counties, to complete a detailed work plan to implement a PRSA, or just even to know if they're interested. And then we also have begun to have conversation with the people of the Finn Hill Park District to determine the possibility of enlarging their boundary to include this park into their taxing district. So what a PRSA will provide the means to rehabilitate the seminary building, but aligned with the dreams of the people who use the park. That's all of you. And while preserving the natural, culture, educational, and recreation features of the park. Thank you.
Susan, all right.
I'm Susan Gardner. I live within walking distance of St. Edward Park. I've been a little bit bothered at the meetings I've come to. I've gone to both the workshops, and I get the impression that anyone that drinks alcohol is kind of labeled an alcoholic, and that kind of upsets me because I have a drink on occasion, and I enjoy it. I get upset that people claim to represent the community of Kenmore, and they don't. I don't think you can say that most of Kenmore would be opposed to McMinniman's being here. That is something that would maybe need to be explored, but I'm guessing there's at least 50%, and I'm hoping it's more like 80%, that would, of Kenmore themselves, that would like to see something like McMinniman's here in this place. The park has St. Edward Park right now because it was a seminary, because it was set aside for that type of thing. I think the seminary is critical to the park. When I heard that MiniMeds might be moving in, I was thrilled because I know what they can do with a park, and you heard that here tonight. I mean, they can just enhance whatever the park was. So that is just would be the ultimate interpretation of what this park has been about in its history. The city of Kenmore wants some destination businesses. That is what McMiniman's would be. They would be a lot of people have heard about McMiniman's, and they would be here, and they would use the site. I don't think they would detract any from your experience of visiting the woods, it just actually would enhance it, because you'd have a place to go to have a bite to eat after you've been walking in the woods or whatever, have a little bit of refreshment. So I think that it enhances, does not take anything away from the acreage that is the park, that is the trees. So I think one of the ways that you can gauge maybe the support for this type of an establishment would be to come here on Father's Day weekend when there's a brewfest on St. Edward property, and there are a lot of people there that would come. You know what? Kenmore needs a breakfast place, too. We don't have any place to go to breakfast. So there's just so many things that McMiniman's would offer to the community if they were able to share this with the state park.
Deborah, and followed by Clyde, and then Richard.
Just have a few quick points. I'm mainly here to represent the voices of the people who filled out a community survey in the fall and also participated, separate groups that participated in two community forums. And collectively, and I'll give this to Bill, and I've already given it to the advisory committee, the results from that survey and the two forums point to a community preference toward one or more of the following uses for the St. Edward Seminary building: an environmental education center, community center, and space for nonprofit organizations. And these preferences are similar to those expressed in community surveys on this topic conducted 20 years ago. So the consistency and of these preferences over both venues and time suggests to me, at least as a researcher, that we should, both the state parks and other interested parties, we should pursue these kind of partnerships that would enable these types of uses in the buildings. And I know for one, I'm going to be pursuing that myself. And a couple other little points. In the 17-year Kenmore Parks and Rec plan, there is a proposal and was drawn in the plan for an additional ball field at Moreland. So at least one has been identified. And then plus the two that maybe would be preserved in Bastyr's revised proposal that could meet the needs right there. The other piece, just a thought, rather than in terms of the Bastyr proposal for the residential use of the seminary buildings and adding more buildings for residential use, the problem that I see with that is that it would bring people into that space at exactly the same high-intensity time as park users, which would be afternoons, evenings, and weekends. And an alternative would be to use that still for Bastyr, but more day use, full classrooms and clinics and things like that. And that could be also married with some of these uses that the community is expressing preferences for. So that might be a way to meet Bastyr's needs for expansion, where they would expand residential on their own pad, and then bring maybe classrooms and other uses into the St. Edward Seminary building site.
Having been on the Downtown Task Force and the Planning Commission with Seattle, I'm here speaking more as an advocate for the participation in this process. Clyde Merriweather. A few things. First of all, one must have to remember, and I asked the question earlier as related to finance, there's about $10 million that needs to be put into that building to save it. So for those of you who love the building, and for those of you who want it to be a nice passive use, remember you still need $10 million to deal with the building. Secondly, I really want to appreciate the mention my appreciation to the advisory committee and to the proposers. There is enough information here, people, for us to make a logical decision on what we're going to do for the future. I think one of the biggest questions we have right now is, what is the future for this park? Is, to a certain extent, who in the future are you talking about? If we're talking about the park as it is for ourselves as we currently use it, that's one subject. If we're talking about our grandchildren, then we're talking about another 50,000 people in your neighborhood, and how are you going to use the park then? All right. So the question I'm having is, how much do you put on this park, and how do you control what you do this park to maintain the essence of what you got and bring in people to the park for the purposes of using the park, as opposed to I want the park to be here for usage as I currently see it. So I'm stuck between the future and what I really love and what I'm. I've got 20 years here. I've grown up two kids inside this park. I love the park as it is, but I also have to recognize the fact that all of us are going to be in a different place tomorrow. So what I am suggesting is that you stay in these meetings and you get the biggest pieces you can of everything that you need and the essence of what you want, but work with these people who are offering you an opportunity to both save your building and to expand the uses of the park. This is not an adversarial thing at this point in time. This is an opportunity for us to get in the process. We may get down to the point where you need to be an adversary, but you're not at that point. You're at the point of giving your good input for the purposes of coming up with the best possible solution for your park. And believe me, my grandchildren are going to use this park on some level. I just assume there was something in it. I just want to make sure that I like what they put there.
Richard?
Oh, yeah. My name's Richard Sleeth, and probably not as prepared as I should be, but I just wanted to say something, as I am a taxpayer that has lived up here for about seven years, and one of the main reasons I live up here is for this park. I really enjoy it quite a bit. And I read an article tonight in the Seattle Times about how we're still paying for the King Dome, and you guys probably aren't enjoying that anymore, like a lot of us. We're paying for two other stadiums as taxpayers, the football stadium and the baseball stadium. We're paying for Key Arena, and now they want to redo it. So we're going to be paying for five stadiums where we get three, and we're not enjoying the benefit of two of them. And when I thought about that, I noticed that we're talking about doing a lot of things for this park. I'm not against bars. I'm not against McMinivans. I'm all for them. But that proposal brings in a lot of people. And being a taxpayer, I'm just a little concerned, I guess, that my needs for enjoying this park aren't going to be met. So my comments to the advisory committee, the people in charge who are going to make the recommendation, is just whatever you come up with, remember the taxpayer, the guy that's enjoying this, and ensure that my needs get met in whatever proposal you guys do. Okay? That's it.
And Conway. Conway Leovi. Oh, Alan, I'm sorry. Alan Marshall. No, I was, I thought you'd stepped out. Sorry.
Okay. My name is Alan Marshall. I've lived in the area for 12 years. I currently live in Holmes Point for the last few. Let's see, this is what I'd like to say. I think that, first of all, thanks for great discussion and wonderful proposals by everybody. I particularly thought the McMinniman's proposal was excellent. I just think that it should be located in downtown Kenmore. I've also visited some of your places, not enough and not frequently. They're fabulous, but why not locate them in the heart of a community where people don't have to get in their car to get there? Downtown Kenmore needs investment. I actually heard a Kenmore City Council member say, geez, we'd give them the land if they'd locate there. So... you know, I don't know the specifics of that. I just think that it's worth exploring that there's a lot of communities looking for, you know, excellent business partners like yourselves. So I'd encourage you to do that. I think, moving on, I think that the history of this park is one of deep, deep, deep reflection. And I think that that's the way it's being used now. The seminary is, you know, I'm not a Catholic, but I respect that faith. And I think that this space is one of very, very deep quiet. And if you look at it from a bird's eye view, particularly at night, through some of the beautiful online maps of MSN and Google and so forth, you can see that this area is actually one of the quietest place, both in terms of light and noise, in the entire Puget Sound area, other than actually out on the water, right? So this, you know, Holmes Point and Finn Hill Park area, it's incredibly quiet in terms of light. One of the reasons I love where I live so much is you cannot hear the noise, the traffic noise of 520 and Route 90 in the echo that occurs as a result of being in those kind of valley chambers where it bounces off. I mean, I'm fortunate enough to live in Holmes Point. Other people live elsewhere. But this whole general region is positioned in a way away from the anchors of noise. And the introduction of additional commercialization, I don't think that is appropriate for this particular park, besides all the traffic and so forth. I think also in conjunction with the fact that there's already a major development in with Bastyr on the horizon, that this park would be way overwhelmed. And I actually applaud and am very excited to see the creative thinking by Bastyr's planners and president and so forth to, you know, put out a proposal that would essentially take the existing impact and shuffle it around a little bit, but, you know, maintain the horizon of the projected impact as it's currently projected. One final thought or two. I run through the park. I bike through the park. There's deer still in this park. There's lots of wildlife here. It's, you know, any new substantial development will push it out. It's such a peaceful place. I think that, you know, the $10 million is, you know, it's a consideration. I don't have, you know, the answer to those specifics. But, you know, to me, the value of this park in terms of its peacefulness, it cannot be, you can't put a dollar figure on those types of things, particularly with a massive growth. And I'm part of that. I've worked at Microsoft for the last 10 years. The massive growth of, there's another million people moving into the Puget Sound region over the next 20 years. So where are those people going to have reflective time? And can you put the commercialization in the urban centers where it belongs? Thank you.
Conway, are you still here? I guess we've wrapped it up. It's I said we'd end at 8:30, so it must be 8:30 or so. Thank you all for your patience.